Would you please open your Bibles with me to the book of John? The Gospel of John. We're going to be reading from verses 43, a story that I think you all probably know. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit," which is a rare commodity. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Here we have this wonderful story of Jesus calling Nathanael. Just a couple of verses earlier, when John starts to write this wonderful gospel, he writes these words that I know everybody probably knows off by heart. And there was a great theologian, and I forget his name now, but there was a great theologian who once said that he believes that these first verses in the Gospel of John are worthy of being written in gold. And I agree with him. John starts off his gospel, this wonderful phrase that we all know, "In the beginning was the Word," speaking of Jesus Christ. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And then John starts speaking a bit about his own testimony of how he started preparing the road for Jesus, how God called him to prepare this road for Jesus. And John is known as John the Baptizer, and John would have been a very weird guy in our time. The Bible says that John wore camel clothes or camel skin as clothes, and he probably had long hair and a long beard, because that's what real men do. I always tell my wife, a real man grows his own scarf. But John is this wonderful guy, a weird guy in our eyes and in the eyes of all of Israel, a man living in the field, eating honey and all kinds of insects that he lives on. And he's the one preparing the road for Jesus. But we should also remember that John and Jesus were cousins. They grew up together. As little kids, they would have had play dates, and they probably slept over at one another's houses from time to time, probably played in the water and ran in the fields. They were just normal boys growing up, and John knew Jesus as his cousin. But then there came a day in verse 29 when the same Jesus came walking to the same John. And all of a sudden, this nephew that he knew all his life, for 30 years that they've known each other up till that time, he saw this man, and God showed John something. And John didn't point his finger to all the people standing there saying, look, there is my cousin Jesus. No, he makes this declaration. He says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John knew that this was him that he wrote off in the first chapters. This is the same man in the beginning that was this person, this God Jesus. And then Jesus calls his first disciples. And then we get to where he calls Nathanael. Nathanael, when he hears about Jesus, he's told by Philip that we have found this man that Moses and the law and the prophets wrote about. We have found this man that was promised to us through generations that would come. And even Nathanael is so weirded out by this that he even said, but can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because actually the promise said that Jesus, the Messiah, would come out of Bethlehem. And he did come out of Bethlehem. He was born there. But he grew up in Nazareth. He says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then when he goes up to meet this man whom Philip says is the Messiah, before he even says a word, Jesus says to him, or to everybody, this man is a man in whom there is no deceit. This is a man you can trust. This is a great businessman to do business with, or whatever. And you can imagine if this were to happen to you. If you were to go up to a man whom you have never seen, never spoken to, you've seen him now for the first time in your life, and this man says something about you that he cannot possibly know. He says, Nathanael, you're a wonderful guy. And I can almost see Nathanael looking at Philip and maybe a bit amazed at what had just happened. And then he asks this of Jesus, which I think is a very good question. He says, but how do you know me? Where have we met before? But then Jesus said this, before Philip called you. In other words, he says, before Philip ran to you now and said, the Messiah is here. Long before that, when you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, we don't know what he was doing under the fig tree. I honestly believe, and a lot of scholars also believe this, that this is something which Nathanael did years before that time. That it wasn't necessarily that Jesus walked past him and saw a man sitting in the fig tree. What Jesus is saying to Philip here is, Philip, before anything on this earth ever was, I saw you. I saw you sitting under a tree. And when I read these words this week, it just kind of gripped me. Those words, before anyone told you about me, I saw you. There is this beautiful passage which we find in the Psalms where the psalmist writes and he says these words. He says, in my own words, he says that before my mommy even knew that she was pregnant, you saw me. In the dark parts of her womb, you saw me. You formed me. You knew my words. They are written up in your books before I was even born. God, when he calls Jeremiah, he says these words to Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, before your mother even knew that she was pregnant, I saw you and I called you. Paul makes this statement over and over and over again in so many of his writings. The one that I'm thinking of now, I believe, is in Ephesians 1, verses 4, if I'm not mistaken, where he says basically these words. He says that those he foreknew, he also predestined. That means that before there was anything, when we go back to John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. When that phrase is being used, in the beginning, it is almost like poetry being written. It doesn't mean that in the beginning, as if there were any beginning with God, because there is no beginning with God. God never began God just is. I don't understand it, but it is true. God wasn't born from anyone or anything. No one spoke God in existence in the beginning, which means in the eternity of endlessness, before there was any time, before there was anything. And you know, the weird thing is when I think of nothing, I think of the universe. I think most of us are like that. When we think of in the beginning nothing, we probably all think of the universe and God sitting somewhere in the universe. But there wasn't even a universe. There was nothing. In the beginning, when there was nothing, there was a person called the Word. And this person called the Word says that before anything was ever made, Nathaniel, I saw you. When I read these words this week, I just felt that I'm really not going to be long tonight. I don't have a long sermon prepared. Just have these few thoughts. But I really felt God wanting me to tell you tonight that a lot of you feel so thrown away. You feel like no one really cares. No one really sees. And sometimes that's true. We can say what we want, but people have become hard and they have become harsh. And most of us, if we really were to take off our masks and just be honest, most of us would have to say that we feel so lonely most of the time. Reminds me of that old song. I don't know if there's an English version of it, but the Afrikaans said, "Ek is eensaam en verlaat, al is daar mense rondom my." And that is just the way we feel. We might be in a crowd, we might be in a place like this, and yet feel so alone. Yet feel like God never sees the tears that I cry. God never sees the trouble I go through. God never sees the heartache. God never sees my fears. But tonight I want to tell you, like He said to Nathaniel, Nathaniel, before there was anything, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. I knew what was going to be in your heart. I knew what your thoughts would be. I knew what your desires would be. I knew what your pain would be. I knew everything about you because I made you. On our way to church this evening, while I was sitting in the car and listening to my music, I just had this image. I'm not going to say it's from God. I don't know. I have a pretty big imagination. In our old church, I always used to say that I kind of see myself like SpongeBob at sometimes. If you don't know what SpongeBob is, please get saved. But SpongeBob would always have this thing where he, if he gets a great idea, he would go, "Imagination!" And then this rainbow would say, "Yeah." I always see myself like that. So I have a really big imagination. But on my way back here, on our way to church here, I just kind of thinking of what I was going to say. And these words just kept filling my mind. Before there was anything, before Philip called you, I saw you. And you know, I can just in my mind of minds kind of see God sitting by Himself, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, sitting in the entirety of nothingness, in a place called timelessness, sitting by themselves, looking into the future, looking at everything that was going to happen. But not only looking at everything that was going to happen, but looking at every person who was going to be born. Not only looking at every person that was going to be born, but be intimate with that person, with intimate knowledge of exactly what they will be like. And the scary thing of that, on my way driving here this evening, the scary thing for me, well, not the scary thing, it's a good scary thing, is that He sat in His place, His throne, whatever and wherever it was, He sat there looking at each of us, seeing our pain, seeing our sorrow, seeing how lonely some of us might feel, but more than that, seeing our sin. Seeing the worst thing that you can possibly do in your life. Sitting on a place called holy, on a mountain called holy, looking at each of us in the future, seeing that one thing that you did that you are so ashamed of that you hope no one ever finds out. And still looking at his son and saying, him who I foreknew, I will predestine. Her that I foreknew, I will predestine. Before anyone told you of me, Nathaniel, I saw you. And you know, the only words that Nathaniel could get out was he said, you truly are the Son of God. And I just want to leave you with a short message tonight. Just this thought. Could you maybe put up some soft music for me, please? Just this little thought tonight. I think that there is something that happened during the COVID. And whether you believe in the COVID or not believe in the COVID, that's not the point. But there's something that happened in these 2 years that I think we all missed it. I think the devil did something that we missed. I'm honest. And I think one of the things that he did was he kept us so busy fighting about masks and sanitizing and social distancing. And again, if you believe it, fine. If you don't believe it, fine. That's not the issue. But he kept us so busy with this that there's one thing that he got right that none of us saw coming. He separated mankind from mankind. He pushed us to a place of loneliness. You can speak to any person you want to. I don't care the smile they have on their faces. You can speak to any person, and most people will tell you, it's almost like I have to get used to the idea of being around people again. It's like he pushed us all away, and we all became these lonely people living in our little bubbles at home. And the problem with that is that we think that the way we feel every day is the way God is every day. We have this idea in our head that when we wake up in a bad mood, then God is probably in a bad mood. And when we wake up happy, then God is probably happy with us. But the Bible says He's always constant, always the same. There is no change in Him. And because there is no change in Him, there is no change in what He feels for you. There is no change in what He feels about you. Nathaniel, before anyone told you, I saw you. And I just want you to know this tonight. God sees you. He sees the pain and the hurt. He sees the desperation. He sees the questions. He sees the failures. He sees how miserable you feel doing some things sometimes. He sees it all. But Nathaniel, while you were sitting under that tree, I saw you. No matter what happened, Nathaniel, no matter what the reason is while you were sitting there, Nathaniel, I saw you and I want you to be part of me. And tonight, God just wants to encourage each and every one of you to know that He sees you. Even if you don't feel it, He sees you. We're going to use some of the communion. If the people could just please help me just to distribute it. And while they are distributing this elements, maybe take a few seconds and just speak to God. He said every time when we come together to partake of the communion, that we will remember you. And so we want to take a few moments and remember the sacrifice. We thank you for that bloody day. We thank you for that cross of shame. So that cross of shame became our glory. We thank you. We think of all the pain you went through. We think of all the humiliation you went through. And we remember you. And Father, I want to pray that as we partake of these elements tonight, that there are people here that truly needs your touch. And they need you to just hold them and tell them that everything will be okay. And so I pray that as we partake of this, that you would heal us in every aspect of our lives, in our bodies, in our minds, that you would heal our marriages, that you would just hold us tonight so that we can just know before anyone ever told us about you, you saw us. We love you and we honor you. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your house. We give you all the glory. Let us eat and drink together. To the end of our sermon, the service, thank you so much for attending. May God bless you and may these words ring in your ears this entire week. Before he told you, I saw you. God bless you. Thank you.